Thank you. God has been speaking to us, I think, this morning already about our kind of eyesight, what we see. We sang, "Be Thou My Vision," and Jenny had this word about Lazarus and kind of coming out but having his eyes still covered, not being able to see clearly. And it's widely, kind of universally recognized that the human eye, by any standard, is an extraordinary thing, a remarkable thing, and also a very meaningful thing, the eyes. That's true kind of biologically, scientifically, it's an incredible thing. People pore over kind of the details, and that is not at all my area of expertise. Although my fun fact about the eye is that it never grows after you're born. You may know this. The eye, the nose and the ears never stop growing, and the eyes, I think that's quite entertaining. But the eye is a remarkable thing, and kind of sociologically, it's an incredible and significant thing, and even spiritually. And it's said the eye to be the window of the soul, and I think we understand that. If you want to see someone and really see kind of inside them, you don't look at their ear, you know, or up their nose. You look in their eye, and you can see and discern an incredible amount by looking into someone's eyes. And so much can be inferred and communicated with our eyes. Our eyes are very important. Everything that you see and perceive and have a perspective on is through your eyes. So the health of your eyes affects pretty well everything. And Jesus spoke about the health of your eyes as a metaphor for your relationship with money. Your relationship with money is as important as the health of your eyes, is what he's saying. And this week we're pausing. We've been preaching through Ephesians and we're pausing that. We're having 3 weeks kind of on other things with Easter. And this week I am talking about money. And if this is your first time and you thought, you know, when you came along, oh, they're just going to go on about money, you're bang on today. And I make no apology for that, because I believe your relationship with money is as important as the health of your eyes. It affects pretty well everything. And I'll say this is much more about what I want for you than what I want from you, when talking about this, because it is so important. I think we all know it. Our relationship with money is such an important thing. And this is about what I want for you in that, and not so much at all what I want from you. I'm going to look at what Jesus says about eyes and money, and then we're going to apply it to us corporately as a church, what it means, and where I'm going to announce that we are not announcing something today, which I'm excited to, and I'll come on to that. And then we'll apply it individually as well. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. If you've got a Bible, I'd encourage you to turn there. The verses will come up on the screen. Matthew 6, five verses from verse 19, where Jesus says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." We're going to focus on the bit in this passage where Jesus talks about the eye as the lamp of the body, which is probably the most confusing bit and kind of hardest to understand, but also can be very enlightening, and pun intended there. You can really understand and see things clearly if we can grasp it. It very clearly, I don't think anyone can deny, Jesus is talking about money either side of it, right? When He talks about storing treasure up on earth, which is bad and unwise, versus storing treasure up in heaven, which is wise and a good thing. And then after he talks about serving money versus serving God. And you can't do both. You have to do one or the other. And he doesn't just kind of do that and then have a really random interlude where he gives a little tidbit about the health of the importance of having healthy eyes in a literal way. It's all in the flow together, and he is using the health of your eyesight as a metaphor for your relationship with money. And he says, if your eyes are not working and if you are in darkness, your whole body is at risk. And I think you can all understand that as a picture. If ever you've got up in the night to go for a wee, you can kind of understand the picture. If you go to the loo in the dark, there's a sense in which your whole body is at risk. You could stub your toe. And if you've got boys in the house, you there could be wee anywhere. And you have to be really careful. And if you can't see it, you have to do that. If you go camping, then you'll know the real terrors, the real perils of guy ropes and walking. And you can be going so slowly and carefully, and you touch it, you go absolutely flying, and you kind of your whole body is at risk because you are in the darkness. If you, like me, have bad eyesight, then you can probably relate even more. If I don't have my contact lenses in, then even if the light's on, my whole body is still at risk, and I could be walking into things. But it's a metaphor, right? If your relationship with money is unhealthy, your whole life is at risk. And we're going to look at unhealthy eyes and then at healthy eyes. Jesus is saying with this, one of the things he's saying is that money is blinding. Unhealthy eyes equals being blinded by money. Verse 23, if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? We might think that it is light in us, but if we are blind, if we are deceived, it's actually darkness. And that's kind of even worse, is what he's saying. A bit like when you get something in your eyes, and it might be small, it will be very small, but that small thing blurs everything and affects everything. It affects your whole vision on everything else. And money is blinding because it can dominate our whole life. And it does dominate a lot of lives in this world. And it does it most of the time without us even realizing. Because it's blinding. You don't really quite realize it. And the context, I mean, what does all this mean? The context helps us to see. We have bad eyes. We're blinded by money when money is our God. Not many people would say, you know, if you asked, are you religious? They would say, yes, I worship money. Few people kind of acknowledge that their God is money. But there certainly are a lot of people for whom that is the case, whose God is money. They don't tend to know that their God is money because they are blinded by it. It is a very subtle God. And when I say blinded by it, I'm not so much talking about being blinded by money in that we just have no idea how much we are spending compared to how much we are earning, although that is clearly not a healthy place to be. That's not so much what we mean here. It's about being blind in that we're unaware of how much our whole lives are shaped by what we are spending, by where we are kind of giving our finances, our resources. The effect of materialism, the sin of greed, is all very subtle. It is a sneaky one, the sin of greed. And in the Bible, that is basically the sin of using your resources and primarily, mainly money for selfish purposes. just kind of using what you got always for yourself. And in the same way that very few people would say that money is their God, I think very few people, very few of us, would say that greed is a problem for us, for me. Very few people kind of are aware of that. Because again, of this blinding thing, right? And you can think it through. I don't want loads more. You know, we very rarely want kind of loads of levels above what we've got. We just kind of often will want one level up from where we are and feel that kind of longing for that. And then we spend, you know, whatever it is, we spend the money until we can't spend more, really. We kind of max ourselves out and we just get the next level. Whatever it is, whether it's the kind of the next level of brand of cereal, you know, like kind of going from Tesco Value to Kellogg's or whatever, or the brand of socks that we've got. And it's just, I'll just get that. One day I'm going to have the next level. And then it comes into other things, and we just want the next level of car, and we just want the next level of holiday, and we just want the next level of house. And you think, oh, yeah, that's sneaky. That greed that can be in us. And we say, I'm not being extravagant. I just would like, that would be just nice to have. I don't feel like I'm being extravagant. Of course, until we get to the next level, at which point we want the next level. And we see, we struggle to be satisfied. Jesus says, be on your guard against greed. And he doesn't say that about anything else. He's, because it's subtle, be on your guard. You don't have to be on your guard against lying. You know when you are. Be on your guard. You have to be careful. You have to be cautious around it. And we have bad eyes and we are blinded by money when we store money up on earth and when money has become our security. It's easy for us to assume that having bad eyes and an unhealthy relationship with money means not being very good at accounting, right? And kind of not being good with money. It's actually very interesting that Jesus is clear that being good with money and good at your budget, good at accounting, is not at all the same thing as having a good relationship with money. And you can have a really good budget sheet and it all look very neat and all be flowing very smoothly and have a really still bad eyesight and an unhealthy relationship with it. Or you can be terrible at it and kind of, you know, looking to grow, honest about, but have a healthy relationship on that in some ways. It's not the same as being good with money. You can have lots of money or very little, but still have bad eyesight. Jesus is saying that if we are secure because we have stored up our money and our assets, then we need to get our eyes checked and look again and realize that there is no lasting, no meaningful security in those things. And again, it's subtle and it's sneaky. It's so easy to be blinded by money whether we have it or we don't. It's not saying that savings and pensions and mortgages are bad, but it is saying something. Jesus is saying something. We're not seeing straight if we are blindly putting our trust in money. And I think we are all vulnerable to the power that money can have to blind us. And with this ongoing battle in this life. And so there is no shame in accepting the struggle. I think that's why Jesus talks a lot about money, is because he cares about us and he knows it's such an important thing in our lives. And there's no shame in accepting that it's going to be a struggle. So some diagnostic questions that we can ask if we think we maybe have some unhealthy eyes, and then we'll come on to some positive perspective. But good questions. Is money a gift or is it a God for me? Am I using it in kind of healthy ambitions, or is it using me? Do I have control over it, or does money have control over me? Does it serve me, or do I serve it? And do I want to kind of keep how I spend my money in the dark? I'm kind of okay with the darkness. Or would I be willing to show brothers and sisters and talk about that? Are you secure and do you have assurance because you have a mortgage and a decent pension? Is that why you are secure? Or are you, on the flip side, are you worried and insecure and tempted to think, if only I could get a decent mortgage or a decent pension and the economy will sort itself out, then I'll be fine and I'll be secure again? Again, I'm saying all of these kind of worth it because of what I want for you and not from you in that heart. But that's the bad eyes out of the way. What are healthy eyes? What are good eyes? Healthy eyes equals a good relationship with money. Verse 22 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And we talk about seeing straight, don't we? We kind of have these little idioms and phrases in our language on having a good perspective is what we say, a good perspective on life. And there's some kind of things, the way we do it in our modern language, having a good perspective, and it's a visionary metaphor. And if you have a good relationship with and a good perspective on money, Jesus is saying your whole life will be full of light. And some of us know that to be true in our hearts. The treatment is not to avoid bad eyes, but is to fight for good eyes. And so we'll apply this kind of more meaningfully and corporately and then individually, as I said. And as well as using a metaphor here, Jesus is also using a kind of play on words which can't really be captured in the English translation. The word translated as healthy in there, and it says if your eyes are healthy, it can mean two things in the original language, and Jesus very clearly means both of them when he says it. So one of the things it means is healthy eyes are genuine. They are kind of authentic and clear. They are genuine. That is like single focused, right? Good kind of vision, not double vision, but a single focused. As opposed, you know, when you're double-minded or you're two-faced and you're lacking authenticity and integrity. So it's genuine. It's when money is in its rightful place in our lives. And it's authentic. We see clearly when our security is not in earthly treasure. That's when we have a clearer sight. When we use money, but we are not controlled by money. And again, I'll just underline it. I think it's striking how Jesus acknowledges how important the role is that money plays in our lives. There's no downplaying it. There's no pretending, you know, oh, just pretend it's a small thing. Just pretend it doesn't matter at all. No, of course it does. For every life, for every family, for every business, for every organization, for every church, money's a big thing. There's no getting around that. And you can't kind of just do life and pretend it doesn't matter. And Jesus is very honest about that. It's not to say that money is the root of evil, of all kinds of evil, but that the love of money is the kind of the root of all kinds of evil. Healthy eyes are not blind to the importance of money, but can focus well and keep it in perspective. You see what I'm saying? Can see it for what it is. So let's apply this first corporately and then individually. These principles apply to local churches just as they apply to individual believers. And healthy church eyes are genuine and authentic and honest. And at Grace Church, we always want to be totally transparent and genuine with our money and how we kind of do our budgeting and our finances. And this is the thing that I'm going to announce that I'm not announcing. And it gives me a lot of pleasure, and probably will do you as well, to announce that I'm not announcing that we're going to have a gift day this year. That is to say, the situation, for the first time in, I think it's 11 years, that we are not taking a gift day or a special offering in order to make and meet our general budget as a church. And that is very hard to get across how much pleasure and joy and gladness that brings me. And again, not from a perspective of because money is so important, but and is God, but because it is not insignificant. And this has been a battle, is the reality for where we have been for as a church. I wouldn't go as far as to say it has been unhealthy, but it has been less than ideal where we have been. Every year for the last 10 years or so, we have depended on a gift day of some description in order to be able to match what money is coming in and what money is going out from the church. And all this, it all costs quite a lot of money, church. And doing all that happens and releasing people to be able to serve appropriately. And it did reach a point of, well, there was one kind of year where we had about £120,000 deficit in the budget, and kind of thinking, how is this going to work? And it has been a real journey, and God has been faithful as he always is, and remarkably through a whole host really of crazy stories, God has always met our needs, and we've somehow always ended up with a really incredibly similar income versus expenditure at the end of every financial year as a church through that period. But it has been, again, a battle that we have fought as elders and kind of before God and praying into this and owning and fasting and coming to God in it. And so it's just glorious that we even have the option not to take one this year. This Sunday we kind of penciled in to do a gift day potentially if we needed. And hey, there's loads of stuff. Kind of, we were tempted to do one anyway, because there's loads of stuff we could do. And I'd be, again, unapologetic in that and excited about all of those things with that. But we just felt it was right. Hey, let's just celebrate the moment by not doing one and kind of demonstrating to God our gratitude and how exciting it is that we are in this place. It is worth just mentioning, in case you kind of go in there, We would have got here whether or not we had sent Bognor. I don't want to kind of make it sound like, yeah, they were the problem and now we've got rid of them and now we're fine. That is not at all the case. It was kind of an unrelated thing. And it's also worth saying that we will very likely need one again in the future. And that is kind of where we'll very likely be. We will send at some point, and financially speaking, that will be much more costly to us than sending Bognor for various reasons I won't go into. And it's just worth kind of knowing that might be the case, and, you know, that's willing to do that. But this is where we are today, and it's a great place to be. So praise God for his faithfulness. Glory to God for all that he has done, and we are here. We are so grateful to him and his everlasting provision and goodness to us. So that's kind of corporately speaking, thinking about, okay, healthy eyes are genuine and honest, that's it. Individually speaking, to apply that in then, healthy eyes are genuine. Open your eyes to the way that money shapes you, is the encouragement, and how you live your life. Those questions I asked, just be honest with yourself. Again, it's not... no shame in accepting that they might be true of us. Healthy eyes are honest is the most important thing. Not in denial, but can see clearly. And as I've made clear, good accounting must not be our hope. Our security must not be there. But it is good in its rightful place. And to have a kind of a good grip on money. And if you need help, kind of individually, just with your own budget and finances, let us know. There's things we can do. We've done CAP courses in the past, and we're kind of exploring in the journey of doing those again, which just help people. And again, there's no shame. It's just why not seek help? And so let me know, let us know if you are struggling, if you are riddled with debt and you've got no idea kind of how to get out of that, it's not my, again, it's not my area of expertise in terms of the details, but there are people in the church who can help learning how to do that. So let us know. Let's be honest and open. And ultimately, we can only see clearly when God is our master and we are devoted to him. You love the one and hate the other. You can't serve both God and money. It is only when we are devoted to God that money can fall into its rightful place. When we are devoted there. C.S. Lewis said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." That sense, the only way you can have a healthy vision on money is to believe in this and to look to God. And if not, the risk is that we see everything through money. And by money we see everything else. The only way to truly see clearly is to see Jesus and look to him. And the other meaning, I said this is a kind of play on words, this word healthy. The other meaning is a kind of a use of language. It's a bit of an idiom that was well known in that context, that healthy eyes are generous eyes. And that was kind of a thing that was understood. We might say, she has a keen eye, and we kind of know something of what we mean. It's a bit of a phrase. She's perceptive. She notices details. In that context, a good eye, if someone said a good eye, everyone would know that means that they were generous. They had a good eye. A couple of examples from the Old Testament. So Proverbs 22, verse 9 says, "The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor." Now, what that actually says, that's how it's translated in the NIV that we've been reading from. What it actually says, and as some other translations would translate it, says, whoever has a good eye will be blessed. Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed. So the generous are those with good eyes. It's a kind of understood in that context. Good eyes equals being generous. And the flip side, bad eyes equals being stingy and tight. And another example we can see from that, Proverbs 23, 6 and 7. This is a great one. I quite like this picture that it kind of gives anyway. "Do not eat the food of a stingy host. Do not crave his delicacies, for he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." We've all been there, I think, on both sides of it. I've been in that place where you're kind of saying, "Yeah, would you like some more?" But you really mean, "Please don't have any more." Orange juice was the thing for me. Like at uni, I don't know, people, "Hey, do you want a drink, water, or I got tea or coffee?" And maybe, I guess you could have some orange juice. And some people, for me, when you have a glass of orange juice, you have a small glass, right? Yeah, you kind of don't. You just someone get a juice and just pour like a pint of orange juice. And I'm like, yeah, fine, eat and drink. But my heart was not with you. Always thinking about the cost. Again, but what that actually says in the original language, don't eat the food of a man whose eye is evil. Don't eat the food of a stingy host. It's actually saying don't eat the food of a man whose eye is evil. Bad eyes look for ways to hold on to as much money as possible. Healthy eyes look for opportunities to be generous and to give out. And then in the New Testament, the word that's translated healthy in Matthew is also translated as generous multiple times elsewhere. For example, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 2, which is one of the most crazy verses you'll ever hear. Talking to the Macedonians, it says, "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." It was a crazy concept, that. In the midst of a severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And that word is the same word that's translated as healthy. And it works both ways. When we are generous, we make our eyes good. We improve the health of our eyes by doing that, and our perspective on money improves when we are generous. But also, when our eyes are healthy, we see clearly to know the value of being generous, and we have a clear perspective. You could say that money is both a thermometer and a thermostat for the heart, in that it reveals the health of the heart, where your kind of treasure is, but it also sets the health of the heart. You can determine the health of your heart by making decisions around money. So healthy eyes are generous. Just corporately, as a church, we continue to give a proportion of what comes in, about 10% we give away every year of what comes in. We give to various organizations and to many individuals, those in need. We give to Commission, the family of churches that we're part of, Compassion, Heart for the Homeless, Pregnancy Options, Home for Good, Bread Trust, these people we've given to this year. So this year we're giving away about £45,000 as we continue to demonstrate this principle as a church. And individually, There is no way around it. The best way to keep your eyes in focus and to keep money in its place is to give, give, give. It is astounding the number of people who give faithfully and sacrificially here to meet all of the money that is given. The vast, vast majority just comes from faithful brothers and sisters, giving faithfully and sacrificially, and it's a wonderful thing. And we're all on a journey, and some are near the beginning of that journey of giving and generosity. Some haven't started yet, and others have been on it for decades. But it's a matter of the heart for everyone. Kind of some very brief principles I'd encourage you in your giving to not be spontaneous, sporadic, and sparing. The S is that, you know, where you kind of just give a little bit of the leftovers every so often. Kind of here's some stuff and random moments, giving the leftovers. But to have the P's, to be priority, proportionate, and progressive in your giving. That is to make giving the first thing on your budget sheet. To make that kind of resolution to yourself and before God, to do that as a priority, and proportionately to what comes in, to be doing that, and progressive, always looking to be growing in that, and never kind of saying, yes, I'm happy with where I am, you know, and I'm always be there, but always looking to grow in faith and in maturity and in faithfulness. We're all on a journey, but we're always looking to grow in maturity. And if you are a member, if you give faithfully here, I'd encourage you, this is a good kind of time of year to just review that, your own journey, and to keep your giving in line with inflation and those things, but also just your own faith and your own progression in that. And to fight the God of money and to express your devotion to God in your generosity. Healthy eyes are generous people. And generous people get increasingly healthy eyes. I just want to be totally clear, as we kind of come to an end, that you cannot save yourself. You cannot become a Christian by getting this right. It's not what we're talking about. It's a helpful metaphor, but it is that when Jesus, the language he's using, we can't mix our metaphors and think that Jesus is not saying, and I am totally not saying, that by doing this, you will be in the light. If you want to be in the light, if you want to be in Jesus, you need to do this. Not at all. You cannot, and as well as that, you cannot get this right. You can't put your earthly treasure in its kind of rightful place without first treasuring Jesus, as I say. And as you treasure Jesus, you will see more clearly. It says in the Psalms, those who look to him are radiant. Look to him and you will be radiant. You will see clearly. This is the wonder of the gospel. Jesus, first and foremost, treasured you so that you could treasure him. You are his treasure. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus Christ, the perfect, the selfless, the spotless, the good one, he gave his whole life, he gave everything, he gave his heart to win, to gain me and you, the selfish ones, the imperfect ones, and we are his treasure that he gave up all other treasures for. What a gospel. The only way for us to have good eyes is to look to him and to treasure him, the one who has treasured us. That is how we store up treasure in heaven. That is how we have our blind eyes opened, how we have the outstanding cloth. We've been raised to life to have that moved away. That's how we can not be mastered or blinded by money, is by knowing the true and the better treasure of knowing and following Jesus Christ. That's the only way. We sang it. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. The only way you can say riches I need not, nor man's empty praise, is by saying you are my inheritance. Now and always. Thou and thou only, the first in my heart. High King of treasure, heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my treasure. You are my treasure. The only way you can put your earthly treasure in its rightful place is by saying to the High King of heaven, you are my treasure. You are the one I need. Look to him and let him open your eyes and give you sight. If the come up, we're gonna celebrate communion together, which is a wonderful way to draw this together. Look, I would encourage you to give everything to Jesus. To hold nothing back. To give all you have to him. But as we come to celebrate communion, and before anything else, we are remembering that before that, he has given everything for us. It's such a good gospel. Why don't we all stand? What's going to happen? I mean, most of us are familiar. There's bread and grape juice to represent the wine in either every corner of the room. And if you need gluten-free bread, that's in that corner over there. And in a moment, I'll encourage you to go and get a bit of bread and a bit of juice, bring it back to your seats, and then we'll eat together, and I'll pray. In fact, why don't you go and do that now? Go and take that, and then come back to your seats, and I'll read some verses, and we'll eat and drink together.